Well, it is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 12. The book of Acts chapter 12. It's just a wonderful time recognizing those who are serving and have served for our great country, the United States of America. And you know, serving our country always comes with a price. For some, it's cost much. And for others, that price is still paid. But what you do with that price that you pay always, always makes a difference, is attested today. A man named Frank Bernadone bore the emotional wounds of his time in the military. He'd already been through 4 years of battle when they came to a town of Perugia. The town was very heavily fortified, and he was leading his unit against this town that was fortified, and the results were bound to be disastrous. Matter of fact, after a bloody day of fighting, it was almost the extermination of his unit. Only a handful of Frank's men were left behind by the day's end, and those few survivors became prisoners of war and wouldn't be released for a whole full year. And after his release, Frank showed some marks of severe stress that he had endured, and he stopped eating and sleeping, and many times he would just begin crying for no reason. He began to become reclusive, and he wanted to avoid friends and family. But God wasn't done with Frank. In fact, God continued to work heavily in Frank's life, drawing from him from a place to where he was to a place where he could work powerfully through him. I'm sure many of you have heard of Frank before, especially if you perhaps have some Catholic or Anglican or some background of that in your life. Frank usually went by Francis, and he's identified with his hometown of Assisi. And in July of 1228, Pope Gregory IX canonized Francis as the designated saint of Italy, Francis of Assisi. For back in 1219, he went to Egypt to try to convert the Sultan. And he tried to put what was a conflict there called the Crusades. In the movement he led, even after dealing with his PTSD, was one of the most spiritually significant movements that anyone has ever done that happened in the Middle Ages. And so we remember that God can do great things even through the broken, such as Frank. Please join me in our passage as we read this morning from Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse 6. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Verse 9. And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. When they passed through the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. In verse 11, when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." This passage has been set up previously from Herod finding out that after he killed James, that this pleased the Jewish people. And he was a people pleaser, and so he thought he would get Peter and shut him up next. I'd like to speak for you this morning as we celebrate our veterans in their service about getting up and getting free. Peter was arrested by King Herod. He was put in prison, and he was being held there for execution. And Herod gave specific orders to make sure that this man, Peter, never gets loose. He's never to escape from this prison here. He's going to die in prison. Herod's going to execute him, and he's going to silence his voice forever. And Herod said to those who were overseeing the prison that it's your job to keep this man from ever breaking free. And likewise, you and I have an enemy as well. We have an enemy that's decided that it is his job to keep every believer from breaking free. The evening before Peter's execution, we're told that there was an upgrade in the security. So much so that the Bible said that there were two chains that was attached to Peter on his hands. One of the chains was connected to the wall and to his hands and to keep his hands bound. And one of the other chains of the two was connected to his ankles to stop him from going anywhere. And if that wasn't enough, they had the upgrade in security. Also, according to the text, they had two soldiers at all times, soldiers for four different shifts. But the soldiers would stand on one side of and Peter on the other as well, making sure that if he was able to get loose from those chains. And then he had two armed guards on each side of him. And if that wasn't enough, then he would have to go through two prison gates that he would have to go through before he came upon this huge, large gate. And behind that gate, there was usually a warden, and he was the keeper of the prison, and he would watch over it as well. And so Peter was under very tight, strict security, to where if he was able to escape one situation, he would have to go through another, and then another, and then another. In other words, it seemed like there was nothing on earth that would be able to get him out of the prison that he was in. But I want to remind you this morning that we are not limited to earthly help. Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 states that our strength is not in horses, our strength is not in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Our strength isn't in Navy SEALs sliding down from a rope from a Black Hawk helicopter and putting explosives on an iron gate and then rescuing us out of prison with machine guns blaring and rocket launchers going through walls with all kinds of protection and fortifications they have to bust through. But instead, the spiritual prison that the enemy wants to hold us in, those things are no effect in the spiritual realm. The devil thinks that I've got you this time. I've got you this time. There's two chains on you. There's two iron guards on each side of you. I've got two gates in front of you, and that's not enough. The iron gate, this big, huge one that you're never going to be able to move. And finally, to top things off, there was a prison warden that had the ability to call reinforcements if he needed to after he was overseeing everything. And so there's no way out. But again, I want to remind you, John chapter 8, verse 36 reminds us, so if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen? Two chains. I want to talk about those two chains for just a moment. Two chains, one on the hands, one on the feet. I believe that this can speak to us spiritually in our spiritual life of the two chains. I want to call them fear and doubt. Now, many of you have a lot of great things ahead of you. Many of you have some good things coming in your life, some big events coming in your life. But the enemy, what he wants to do is to chain you, to stop you from moving forward for those things coming into your life. To stop your life from moving out into the unknown and developing your faith. And he does that by using these two chains. Chain of fear and the chain of doubt. Maybe some of you have been fighting the good fight, increasing your spiritual disciplines, really trying to walk your life with Christ. But something happened along the way. You got blindsided. You got ambushed. You fell in a trap. And so now what happens? We have a lot of POW, prisoner of war Christians and disciples. And now the chain of fear and the chain of doubt binds you. Fear that says, I can't go where I'm supposed to go. I can't do what I need to do. You don't have what it takes. The fear of what someone might say to you, of what someone might think of you. You might fail. You might get laughed at if you're not good enough. You just don't have what it takes. Fear has two meanings. Either forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. The choice is yours. Fear. The chain of fear, with its twin chain being the chain of doubt, to begin you to just doubt God if he will ever help you out of your situation. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to question God and to make you think, is God really for me? Is he really on my side? I read the word, but I just wonder sometimes because it seems like I just hear an echo. And then if he can't get you to doubt that, one of the biggest ways that the enemy will try to keep you bound is to try to get you to doubt your own ability, something that you know you can do. He'll try to get you to doubt that. He'll try to get you to doubt your giftedness. He'll try to get you to doubt your calling and your talent, to get you to doubt that you're even good enough. All of those things, the enemy can put chains on us to send the message that you don't have what it takes. And with the chain of fear being on one part of you and the chain of doubt being on the other side of you, sending messages to you that I doubt if it's going to happen or I doubt if I can make it, then I've come today to tell you that the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 that God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Amen? And if there's an opportunity that God wants you to bring in your life, then don't you dare let the chain of fear, don't you dare let the chain of doubt hold you back from God's very best for your life. Just shake it off, the chain of fear, and shake off the chain of doubt, because there's miracles in your life and in your future as a child of God. Just shake those twin chains off of fear and doubt. And then if the enemy couldn't hold Peter with that, then somehow, by a miracle he did, if he was able to get out of those chains, he had two armed guards on both sides of him. And I believe one of those guards represents discouragement in our spiritual life. Because you're going to encounter those guards in your walk with Christ and in your journey to him. And you'll have to confront fear. And you'll have to overcome doubt. And you'll break free of those chains. But as soon as you do, there's going to be standing on both sides of you discouragement. And on the other side, there'll be another guard, and he represents intimidation. And they'll do everything that they can to try to talk you out and to try to beat you down so you can stay down in your walk to Christ with freedom. You see, the enemy wants to stop you. And the enemy wants to keep you and to block you from being free in your life. And he'll use discouragement. And he'll use the guard of intimidation in addition to those two chains of fear and doubt. He'll even use self-doubt to hold you in that dark place and in that limited place that life's put on you. Because the enemy of your soul is guarding your gate. And if you're able to shake off the chains of fear and doubt and overcome even the guards of intimidation and discouragement, the enemy then, what he tries to do is he tries to close doors in on you with the thinking that those doors will never open for you. Those doors to new discoveries in your life and for the freedom or bondage in your life or the freedom that family curses have put on your life will never open for you. So you might as well just get settled right where you are and stay there. And then I'm sure on the other side of that big gate where the warden of the prison was, I'm sure he hurled a lot of insults. Insults that we hear from the various voices inside of us saying, you don't have what it takes. You're nobody special. You're nothing. You'll never amount to anything. These are the voices and the instruments that the enemy uses in our lives. That he uses us to hold you and I back from our purpose, from our plans, and from our dreams that God has for our lives. Two chains. Two soldiers. the keeper of the doors, the closed doors. But then the story shifts suddenly. Suddenly. He uses the word suddenly. Did you catch that in our passage today? Suddenly, a light shone into the prison. The shining light, shining into the darkness. The shining light was of hope and of victory and the word. Because it doesn't matter how bound the enemy has you in fear and in doubt and intimidation and security today, insecurity today. It doesn't matter how much he has you bound in that, because the enemy, matter of fact, the enemy would love for you not to hear this message. Because he knows that if he has you chained with fear and doubt, and if he has you guarded with intimidation and fear, then he knows that you're not going anywhere. He has you right where he wants you. But when the light of the gospel, when it shines down, and that's why it's so powerful for you to come to church with other believers. Because the gospel, when you hear it preached, when you hear it proclaimed through the word, the gospel can shine the light of hope, and it can shine the light of faith, a light that can bring victory into a very dark prison perhaps you're in. And just by hearing the word of God proclaimed and coming to church and being around other believers of the same faith, suddenly, notice in our text that the two chains are still there. Notice in our text that the two guards are still there. Notice in our text that the iron gate doors are still shut. The warden is still there. Nothing has changed except for the light of the gospel shining. And when the light shines, the next thing that happens is a voice of an angel that says, "Get up. Get up." And that's the message I want to bring to you today, is to get up. When you think that there's no way out, don't just sitting there rattling your chains of fear and doubt and talking about how heavy they are. Because here's the point. When you're down low on the ground, I'm up higher on the stage here, but when you're down low, everybody, everything looks big to you. You don't believe me? Try it. Lay on the floor, then look up at people standing. Perhaps maybe you visited a place as a child frequently, and now as an adult, when you go back to visit it, it doesn't look as big as you remember it when you were a little child. Perhaps you're down low, and discouragement and intimidation look so great and huge. But ever when you decide to get up, when you decide to stand up, it's amazing, because you'll see that they're not as big as you thought they were. If you're on the ground and looking up at people, they look huge. But when you get up and rise up, you're face to face with them. They're not as great as you thought they were. That's why we can't afford just to sit around in victim mode and feeling sorry for ourselves. You have to get up. You have to get up in life and determine within yourself that I'm tired of sitting here. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to sit here for the rest of my life. Get up. Matter of fact, just turn to someone today and say, "Get up." Well, no one got up, but that's okay. But you get the point. And then the angel, he then tells Peter, he says, "Put your shoes on." Did you catch that? He says, "Put your shoes on, because you're going somewhere." Some may have sat there long enough, wiggling those chains because of doubt and looking it up those guards of discouragement and intimidation. But get your shoes on. Stand up and get up. Put your shoes on, because it's time to move. It's time to march. It's time to get out of this place, because you're going somewhere where you've never gone before. And God wants you to go with confidence. And his angel is going before you to free you. And I can't tell you how it happened. But all I know is when the Bible says he stood up and put his shoes on, his chains fell off. Now that's a miraculous thing. I wonder what would have happened if he would have got up the day before or the day before that. I wonder if those chains wouldn't have fallen off. I don't know. It doesn't say that, but it makes you wonder. But when you're ready to get up, all that you have to do is get up. In the first 15 verses of John chapter 5, a man waited 38 years by a pool for someone to pick him up. And many people need to stop waiting around for someone to come along and have to pick you up or have to talk you into your victory. Sometimes you just have to do like Peter did, and if you're unsure about it, encourage yourself to get up and put your shoes on and to start moving forward. Just to get up. Go to church. Get up. Start praising God. Get up and start believing in God. And just send out a cancellation notice to your pity party that you've been invited to, and just get up. Put your shoes on and determine within yourself that you're not going to stay in this place of discouragement or this place of intimidation or fear or doubt. Now, I don't know what happened to those other two soldiers. I don't understand it. But the next thing that happened, the Bible says that the angel said to put your garment on. Put your coat on. And this speaks spiritually of the garment of praise. So when you get up, you see your problems don't look as big as they were. But then you put on your garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness that you have, and put on your shoes of faith so you walk by faith and not by sight. And I don't know what happened to the two guards. They just seem to have disappeared. I don't know if they fell asleep or what, but they may have. We don't have an answer. All we know is the very thing that was holding Peter back for so long didn't even matter. When God said to get up and put your garment of praise on and put your shoes of faith on and go at the sound of my voice, when he did that, suddenly the guards of intimidation and the guards of discouragement couldn't hold back Peter anymore. And you have to get up. For the thing that Peter feared most in his experience seemed to disappear. And you have to get up. The perspective is a lot different when you do get up. When you're down low, when you stand right, because when you stand and rise up, God wants us to be up. And you may have come today and maybe just bound and determined that you're not going to do anything. You're just going to sit through another service. The chain of fear and chain of doubt may have you bound, and you're not really expecting God to do anything today. And then on top of that, you've been discouraged, and on top of that, life has just been intimidating you with things that have been happening in your life. But today, the light is shining on you in that seat where you're in, and God's message for you is to rise up. Get your garment of praise and slip on your shoes of faith and determine within yourself that you're going somewhere and not just staying where you're at. The two soldiers of discouragement and intimidation, they didn't have anything else to say that day when that happened. The keeper of the prison was so brave, yelling insults from behind the gate. When the chains fell off, the guards just seemed to disappear. And Peter got up and began walking, and he didn't even have to worry about those guards stopping him. All he had to do was just to push open the door and keep walking, because the door that was stopping him was already unlocked. And just as the doors before you, God can unlock. And God may be waiting just for you to rise up and get up and take a step of faith. And I don't know how God's going to open your door, but by moving toward it and by praising God in your life is a step of faith. And just as Peter did, by overwhelming circumstances that were facing him on both sides as well as before him, when he received a word of God in the Spirit, and that's what you have to get. You have to get a word of God in your spirit. He got up and he began walking. And one door, he walked past one door, which was an obstacle. He passed another door, which was another obstacle before him. And when he reached the prison gate, that big, huge iron prison gate, the gate that the warden had been talking trash from him behind, he sees Peter perhaps coming with an angel, and in his fear, he runs away from his post. I don't know if that's not in there, but I can just imagine that happening. It's interesting to note, too, that the Bible says in James 4:7 that says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Peter walked through the first gate. He walked through the second gate, discovering they were unlocked. And all this time, while he was bound and he was being held back by those doors that were not even locked. Those doors were not even locked when he was held in the prison. And some needed to understand that there will be doors in your life that's going to look locked. But as you walk by faith, and at the right time, that's important too, God will make those doors open for you. All that you have to do and I have to do is just to keep moving and keep moving and keep moving. It's not my job just to sit there and I've got God's faith and I'm going to push this door open. And that may be where we get ahead of ourselves many times in our walk with Christ, as we don't get that in our spirit and we try to go out and help God. Say, "God, you're going to set me free? Good, I'll help you." No. Our job is to keep moving. Our job is to keep walking by faith, wearing the garment of praise when we get up. And when we do that, every door that God has for us to go through and every plan that God has for your life, those will open up before you. And through the favor of God, we'll find them open and not locked. And you'll be free. And here's my favorite part of this little story here in Acts chapter 12. That encourages me. The whole time during this story is that Simon Peter didn't really believe what was going on. I mean, we think that Peter's a giant of faith. Jesus told him, "Upon the gates of hell shall not prevail upon your name, the rock." And we're thinking that maybe just by Peter having that faith of starting the church and being so strong that he could just gaze at those prison doors and get that spiritual oomph, and they would just pop open. No, none of that happened. Instead, he was being carried by God's Spirit. And he didn't even have faith. He didn't even believe any of it was real going on. And he thought he was dreaming the whole time. He thought that this thing's just too good to be true. And it wasn't until he got outside of the prison, when the fresh air hit his face, he decided he was completely free. And that's when he says, "Now I know for real that I'm free." I don't know about you, but that really encourages me to know that he didn't have great faith and wasn't even totally convinced. But God, with just a little faith, not great faith or being totally convinced, but if we'll get up and shake off those chains of fear and doubt and not listen to those guards of discouragement and intimidation, and with just a little bit of faith, keep moving forward, and remember with just a little bit of faith that those chains fell off, and with just a little bit of faith, those guards disappeared, and with just a little bit of faith, those iron gates were open and unlocked, and with a little bit of faith, the warden was running away, and with a little bit of faith, Peter got up, walked out, and became free. Just with a little bit of faith. And it wasn't because of his great faith. It was just a little bit of faith. And that's all God asks from you and me. It's just, if you could just have a mustard seed of faith, an itty bitty, if you could just have a little faith. And I'm here to proclaim to you today that the doors are already unlocked in your life. And the iron gates already open for you to walk through. And don't let the chain of fear and the chain of doubt stop you or intimidate you like the guards of intimidation and discouragement. You listen to your king. You listen to your commanding officer and what Jesus tells you to say and do through his translator, the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important for us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. That is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Because when we grieve the Holy Spirit, what we can do when we do that is we can miss out on hearing our commanding officer, Jesus, our King, having to say to us that now is the time for you to get up. I've cleared the way. My angels have fought these things that were before you. Now is the time for you to get up and make your break. Because if you grieve the Holy Spirit, you won't hear him say that. And the window's open for only so long. And you may just be stuck in your prison. Jesus will open a door for you. So much so that it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, "Behold, I have put before you an open door which no man can shut, because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name." Jesus is the one who opens doors in our lives that no man can ever shut. Amen? And if you're supposed to be there, God will get you there. If it's time for you just to get up with just a little bit of faith in him, to get up and put your shoes on and put your garment on and keep moving. I know sometimes it's easy to just to wonder what our purpose is. Why we're being held captive. Why we're facing the situations we're facing as children of God. Why have I been captured now and placed in this prison? But by knowing your purpose in God, you can understand those difficulties a little bit better when they happen in your life. But you got to get that purpose understood in your life. When you understand the specific story that God wants you and you and you to tell others in your life, that you were created to tell, what that does, it then gives you a prism to which you can even view the hard things that come into your life and see the colors on the other side. I think about Staff Sergeant Travis Mills. It's interesting to see his story. You can look him up on YouTube or those videos. He was on his third duty in Afghanistan, and he accidentally came in contact with an IED. That's an improvised explosive device. And when he came to after the explosion, which happened to be on his 25th birthday, he discovered to his horror that he'd lost both arms and both legs. And in his book, Tough as They Come, Travis Mills tells that after this horrible accident, he tried to convince his wife, Kelsey, to leave him, just to divorce him and leave him, to take their young daughter, which had just been born, and just to start a new life on their own. And he said, "This thing is just going to be too difficult for us to go through. And I don't want you to have to face the difficulties." His wife, Kelsey, replied to him. She said, "No, that's not what I signed up for when I married you." Okay, well, Travis Mills, he became bitter toward God. Couldn't understand why God would allow such a tragedy in his life, especially on his birthday. At one point, he demanded that a scripture plaque that his sister-in-law had placed in the hospital room be removed from the hospital room. Just get it out of here. He didn't want it in there. The scripture plaque had Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 written on it, which said, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and to be courageous, not to be tremble or dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go." He didn't want to see that, much less hear it from anybody. But he ends up writing in his book, as time went on, he came to understand God's purpose in this tragedy in his life. And now Travis Mills works through his foundation to assist wounded warriors throughout our country. He travels throughout our country speaking to veterans groups. He speaks to large corporations. He speaks to civic organizations. He speaks to church groups. He speaks about anyone who will listen to him. About never giving up and never giving in. And learning to trust God. Because Travis Mills understands. He understands the unique purpose for which God has created him and how he determined not to stay down, but to get up spiritually. And how the worst experience in his life was a way for him to tell his story even to a larger audience. Likewise, God's created you not just to, for the general purpose of serving Him and enjoying God and glorifying Him, but He created you in a specific way to tell your story. And just as you see all of the flags in this room today around the sanctuary, celebrating those who have served and those who are still serving our country for freedom, I believe that this is a day for freedom. Freedom from fear, freedom from doubt, freedom from bondage, freedom from sin. Maybe today this message is for you. Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, I know that I'm not right with God. I know that I need God's power in my life and God's grace to cleanse me and to make me whole. And I want to believe that today. I want to get up. I want to put my shoes of faith on and my garment of praise to be set free with the power and the blood that Jesus Christ has shed for me in His mighty name. I want to be free today. Well, if that's you, we would love to pray for you. We'd love to encourage you. We'd love to stand with you in agreement to your victory, to your day of victory. This is the day that maybe you decide to get up and to put your shoes on, get ready for action, because you're just tired of being on the ground all the time and everything is looking so big around you. And as you do decide to get up, you'll discover that those chains breaking and those guards will begin to disappear in your life as you stand and rise up and get up in your walk with Christ. In your walk, if you're stuck or if you're trapped or if you're held back, we can all find a way to get up from this place in our lives. And when we decide to get up, when we do that, you'll find doors that begin to open. And you'll discover abundant life beyond this place. Beyond this place with just a little faith. Amen. As we close today and this morning in prayer, we'll close with song. And if you do decide that you're ready for freedom that is before you, then we're here for you. Pastor Adam, myself, our prayer intercessor team, we're here for you to stand by you, to pray for you, and encourage you. Please stand with me as we close. Father, we just thank you for this day. That we can appreciate our veterans, for those who set the example for us, what it means to fight, what it means to serve, what it means to be committed into service for safety for all those. Help us to understand in our lives that you are our King and you are our commanding officer. And we stand at your attention, ready for orders, and that we'll know that we, if we do ever get captured, that you're not going to forget us. That you're not going to keep us there and let us just stay there. But you send in reinforcements. You send in your angelic beings to work things around our lives. Work in situations that we do not see. But you are working to make us free. And help us to hear the call. And to hear the know when the time to break out is ready. Help us to know the call in our lives to stand up and to get up. And to begin walking. And not to become comfortable in our cell. But to rise up and to get up. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, our commanding officer, for the price that you paid for us. And it's in your name we pray. And all the church said, Amen.